Let's first talk about NFL free agency, because it officially started today, but it seemed like all the news was breaking way before we got to today.
Yep, that's exactly right. Corey and I were really busy last night. Obviously, that's when a lot of the information came out about the Tennessee Titans and some of the moves that they were planning on making, starting with Malcolm Butler. That was the first one that, you know, came out. And we kind of at first were like, okay, we get it. But that's a lot of money for a position where you definitely have talent there already. But the more I think about it, I like it. I think that is now a position, though, that has to perform. But having Kerry Combs as the defensive backs coach now is going to be huge. I mean, I saw what he did firsthand at Ohio State with all of those guys that are now in the NFL. And I think he's going to have a real big influence on this group. But they're going to be expected to perform now.
Can you imagine if you could do the draft over and the Titans are selecting at number 5 and they get Jamal Adams, the safety? Can you imagine that secondary if you added Adams to what has now been put together with Butler, along with Ryan, Adoree Jackson, along with Kevin Byard?
Oh, yeah. That'd be incredible. But I think the pieces that they have now, I mean, looking at that secondary, I mean, it's pretty impressive if everybody can, you know, live up to the standards this next season. And that means guys like Adoree Jackson and, you know, Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan, I think, towards the end of the season was doing a lot better. But, you know, those are guys, too, that need to have, you know, one or two interceptions. I mean, they need to get involved on that aspect of things, too.
We look at the where we stand now with regards to the Titans, and certainly still a need there as far as backup quarterback. And you're looking, this is a position where I don't think you wait to the draft. I think you have to bring somebody with some experience in as far as to be able to back up and push Marcus Mariota. Wide receiver, you know, your guess is as good as mine. You can maybe pull off a trade or wait to the draft. But if you wait to the draft, you're throwing the dice. And I think it's important that the Titans bring in at least one more veteran to add to that wide receiver core.
Yeah, I mean, I think adding a veteran is a good thing, because we just don't know exactly what to expect out of that group this year. Like we mentioned before, when I was in last week, we would like to see guys like Corey Davis come out and have a good all-around season. But I actually think, you know, that backup quarterback position is going to be important to have. And I almost would like to see somebody, you know, similar to Mariota. But then again, there's not a ton of guys out there that I'm just going like, okay, let's get this guy. You know, there's just not that many guys out there that I'm impressed with as even a backup.
Avery Williamson is now a New York Jet. Going to miss Avery. You know, here's somebody who's a product of the state of Tennessee, from the west part of the state. Played his college ball at Kentucky, and, you know, I loved you know, Avery being a part of this Titans organization, but certainly happy for, you know, for Avery and his family getting a nice deal there with the Jets.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that the Titans didn't give him a little bit more money. But then again, I mean, this is, you know, this is a new coach. This is, you know, John is turning things around, trying to do things different. And I think he deserves, though, the money that he got. I got to know him a little bit with covering the Titans last year, and I'll say he's a great team player. I mean, that's definitely somebody that you want to have in your locker room. So I'm happy for him as well with the deal that he got.
Kayla, as far as March Madness is concerned, Lipscomb left today. A nice matchup for them as far as to start the tournament, as they play North Carolina coming up on Friday in Charlotte. And, yeah, so what? They're 17-point underdogs. This is what I've been saying all week. You know, the fans go, oh, it's North Carolina, it's in Charlotte, they don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Every team that makes the tournament in that locker room, they all feel like they could be David taking down and bringing down a Goliath if they're in that situation. And that's why, because they do believe, we've seen so many great upsets over the years with 15 seeds, 14 seeds, 13, 12, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah, this is why they call it March Madness. I mean, it has that name for a reason, right? I'm such a big, huge fan of the NCAA tournament. I have, growing up in Spokane, Washington, we had Gonzaga, and you know the Cinderella now that is no longer the Cinderella. So I've always enjoyed college basketball, and I've always enjoyed, because Gonzaga was once one of those teams, I've always enjoyed those teams that have been able to cause those upsets. If there is a team that believes in itself, it's Lipscomb. I talked to those guys when they were at the selection show the other night, and just their whole, like, confidence, their whole vibe about them is, you know what, we're going in here, we're going to do what we did the entire season, which Casey Alexander has preached that they like to play their game, obviously, but they like to have fun doing it. And they haven't veered from that path at all. And we saw what they did, you know, in the first half, the Florida Gulf Coast. And they said, hey, if we play like that, obviously we can't have a huge letdown in the second half. But if we play like that, like, we could give those Tar Heels a run for their money.
I had a chance to visit with Bart Brooks on the show, head coach of the Belmont women's team on Tuesday and yesterday. And, you know, very happy for his success. He's happy, obviously, for the ladies. And he didn't really go there, but I did. The fact that, you know, if the tournament committee for the men did as a lousy of a job year in and year out as they do on the women's side, they'd be more of an outcry. Because, you know, here's the thing. It's one thing if the media, as far as the Associated Press or whatever, think you're a top 25 team. But it's a different story when the coaches feel you're a top 25 team. There's no way in the world with your domination of your conference that you're a 12 seed. In the case of Belmont, having to play Duke, a 5 seed. And, oh, by the way, if you win that game, then you got to play the 4 seed Georgia squad on their own home court. That is just an injustice. And once again, if this was the men's bracket and that was the decisions being made by the tournament committee on the men's side, they'd be more of an outcry. But unfortunately, because it is on the women's side, not much is being said about it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, because obviously we've seen what the Belmont women have been able to do. I mean, this isn't just a one-time thing. So they've, like Middle Tennessee has done, and I'm not saying that they should have gotten in the tournament, but I'm using them as an example, is they've kind of built their brand up. Yeah, they're from a smaller conference, but because I think March Madness, just like for the men, takes over everything at this time, it's almost like the women don't get that full attention with these type of situations and these type of snubs, I guess you could call it. And you're right. It isn't really fair, because it's like, just because you're not in some power conference doesn't mean that your program, you know, has been built to the level where you can maybe be rewarded with a better seed.
I've been getting traction this week because I threw this out on Monday, because certainly when you look at teams, the fact that Middle Tennessee wasn't even barely left out, they weren't even in consideration. They weren't even one of the first four teams out on the men's side. But I threw this out because, first of all, teams from the top 8 or 9 conferences in the country are not coming to play at Middle or at Lipscomb or at Tennessee State. And just like we see these matchups year in, year out, like the Big 12, SEC Challenge, or whatever the case may be, I think it should be mandated that when you look at the top 9 or 10 conferences, or take the first 15 if you want, but whatever the case may be, you have to designate 3 spots on your schedule, and it could be over the same week or week and a half, and they all have to be road games going to teams in the OVC or Atlantic Sun, et cetera. It should be mandated because otherwise they're not going to come. And if you ever do get a contract which says they're going to come, there's always that clause says that they can buy it out and pay you like $25,000 or $30,000 to buy themselves out of a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, in college basketball, I think, is different from college football. I mean, you've seen over the years these mid-major teams. I mean, there's some really good teams. There's some really good talent throughout those teams. And having something like that, I think, would be a good idea. And I really don't see how it's not possible or how it's not really been discussed. A team like Middle Tennessee, and, you know, I don't know one way or another, you know, when you look at their full body of work over the season, I think that that's a quality team. But at the same time, you have, you know, two losses to Marshall and you're bounced in the first round of the tournament. And it's like, okay, well, that goes into play, you know. But having something like that where you can bring those big names to your court, I think would be genius.
Yeah, well, they're bounced by the team that, oh, by the way, is the 13 seed playing Wichita State coming up. And as far as Middle was concerned, they had a bad 5 days. And you compare it to a bad 3+ weeks for like an Arizona State or a Syracuse or Oklahoma. And there's no comparison between 5 days and a bad 3 weeks leading into the tournament.
Yeah, that's the part that I just kept going back and forth on, because I just look at, first of all, I look what Kermit Davis has done for Middle Tennessee basketball. And, you know, those people who have followed Middle Tennessee basketball know, you know, what they've been able to do over the years. And they've obviously made a name for themselves as a mid-major. And then you see their full body of work and throughout the season. I mean, it's not just a two-week thing. Like, this is a whole season. And that's when it becomes a little disappointing, when you're seeing those other teams get in just because they're from these bigger conferences. That's the part that I have a little bit of an issue with.
Kayla, remind the listeners again how they can keep up with all your coverage and also see if you can generate a few more likes on Facebook.
Yep, WKRN Kayla Anderson on Facebook. And then on Twitter, it's at Kayla Anderson TV. And so, yeah, go follow me. And I'm pretty much all sports, all day, all the time. So if you like sports, I'm a good follow.
Thank you, Kayla. Have a great night and great rest of the week. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You too, man.
Thank you.